Today, I want to talk to you about peace, about the Prince of Peace, about having inner peace, not inner turmoil, how God has called you to peace, how he's designed you to live in peace. God has a great plan for our life, and oftentimes the enemy and the enemy steals our peace. In fact, sometimes our peace is stolen because we care too much about what other people think. Can I get an amen in church today? Oh, what are they going to think? You know, they're repossessing my car. What do I do? Well, number one, we have remote parking at this campus. Hide your car, okay? Hide your car. I mean, that answers that, right? I grew up poor. Actually, I couldn't afford the R. We just grew up po. Our baloney didn't have a first name. No cable. It was just like our rabbit ears coming up with aluminum foil. You rich people don't know what I'm talking about. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the way you turn the channel, we couldn't turn the channel because it was broke. So we had a pair of vice grips, and you put the vice grip. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And this is back if you didn't have cable, you only had three channels, which means if it was time to go to bed, it didn't matter if you weren't ready for bed. It just went, oh, say, can you see, click, by the dawn's early, you're like, oh. Or the president's on, you're screwed, right? You're just watching the president. And then we had to take those vice grips out in the car because, it was broke, the window, so you had to actually use it. The stem is out. It's like this real jagged-looking thing, and you take the vice grips from the TV, and you put it there, and you roll up your window. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And then you don't start the car with the key because the key broke because somebody stole the car at one point, but you got it back, so now you got to have a screwdriver to put that in there. Anybody see? And then you can't just park it because the battery's dead, so you got to park it on the hill so you can roll down it and get it to start. Come on, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about no peace. Had no peace, had no money, had all kinds of problems. But you can have peace in the midst of a storm. Did you remember in the Synonymous Gospels that Jesus says to his disciples, he says, we're going to the other side. That was his word. He gets in the boat, we're going to the other side. Then he goes down, the Bible says, in the hindered part of the ship, in the bottom of the ship, and he goes to sleep. He's sleeping away. And then there was a storm. There's storms in your life. Obstacles of hurricane proportions. And the disciples lost all their peace. They freak out and they run down in the basement. And they're like, Jesus, Jesus, Elizabeth in English, care not that thou we perish. In other words, like, homie, we're going to die. Jesus gets up and he goes to the front of the ship and he doesn't shout, please. He doesn't shout, hey. He shouts these words, peace, be still. In the midst of turmoil, in the midst of problems, he shouts peace when he's receiving the opposite. And the Bible said that the winds died down, the waves calmed, and then I got a feeling he looked at the people and said, next time I tell you that we're going to the other side, don't wake me up. I was right in the middle of a sweet dream, man, and you jacked that whole mojo in there. Peace. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. Your peace, my peace, it's under attack, now more so than ever. Today, I'm going to help you realize that you're called to peace. Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, and the God of peace, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. Your heart and your mind. I like to pause on a scripture and say that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's on your heart is coming out of your mouth. Your heart and your mind. Now, here's the cool part. Sometimes our heart is right, but our head is wrong. Anybody in here relate to what I'm saying? Anybody on television? Your heart's right. If they knew my heart, but my head's wrong. Does your mind ever wonder? You're like doing something and you're focused and then your mind wonders. Come on, raise your hand if that's you. Yeah, me too. It's too little to be out wondering by itself, isn't that right? This past week, I was jogging and I had made a decision because I like to listen to podcasts. In fact, you should as well. You know, you get a podcast app. Faith Church has its own app. You can go on there and listen to me preach as much as you want, Pastor Nicole. And I was listening on my app, listening to a struggling evangelist. I don't know if you ever heard of him, Joel Osteen. And he was preaching, and it was a solid sermon, and I was digging it. But now that I'm jogging, all of a sudden I realize I haven't heard anything Joel has said for the last 10 minutes. I've allowed my mind to wander off into the negativity, and I had to grab my mind and get it back. So I rewind it, and I did good for about 2 or 3 minutes. Then the thoughts begin to contaminate my brain again. So what I realize is this, and I've done it before. Sometimes I have to repeat what the person is saying so that I can delete the negativity and the thoughts that's robbing my peace. So I just start saying what Joel's saying. Now, the cool thing is I'm jogging with my iPhone, so it looks like I'm talking to somebody instead of just being cray-cray. Because I do care what people think, and that's a different sermon that I want to work on another time with you. How many of y'all still kind of care what people think? Now, I realize it's working. How's it work? Let's try it. Let's all count to 10. Let's go. 1, 2. Okay, stop. Wait, let's shoot internally. Go ahead. Stop. Tell me your name. Tell me your name. Come on. Tell me your name. What's your name? What happened to your counting? It stopped. Your brain had to shut up to hear what your mouth had to say. That's why there's such power of life and death in your tongue. That's why the Bible said, say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say, it shall come to pass, and you will have whatever you say. It doesn't say you have what you think. You have what you say. Jesus stood out in the parapets of glory, and God is there, and the Holy Spirit is there, the triune being. God sees dark, and he says, he didn't think light, he said, let there be what?
Light.
He said what he wanted to happen. A lot of times our peace is disturbed. Our situation is agitated. We're not really enjoying our life to the full because we're allowing the enemy and the enemy to contaminate our thoughts. So I bought this computer up here today, not because necessarily I wanted to preach with it. I just wanted to bring it to tell you that this computer was built from the factory with loaded software. And it's fast and it's good. But then, you know, you get an email or something happens, you click on something, and now your computer gets a virus. I've learned a lot of times the key to successfully managing your computer is learning where the delete button is, control, alt, delete, and delete it. So what I'm saying is your mind, and my mind, is a lot like this computer. When you get those negative thoughts, it's like, you're not educated enough for this next move. You're not going to come out strong. This report from the doctor is actually going to kill you. You can delete that and say, hey, wait a minute. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. What can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Height, depth, things present, things to come. Nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. In other words, when we hit the delete button, what we're doing is we are saying no to that so we can say yes to our purpose and our calling. It's our inheritance. John 14, verse 27, here's your inheritance. He says, peace I leave with you. Not money. Peace I leave with you. My peace, Jesus says. I give unto you, I bequeath it to you. Not as the world give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Sounds like we have a choice. Let not, you could, but don't. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, God's saying, hit that delete button when the enemy and the enemy comes in and begins to prophesy over your future. I'm here to prophesy to you that your past doesn't equal your future. And what God started in you, he's going to complete in you. And you have to enjoy where you are right now until you get where you're going. Can somebody put an amen on that? Enjoy today. Today's the only day you're promised. Enjoy that. But if you're not careful, this can mess up your whole world. Oh, got an email. Check it. Bad news. Nope, got a call. Oh, gosh, not them. It's getting quiet in here. Let me try it over here. Anybody know what I'm talking about in here? You got a call? Get a call? Check it out. Or even just the feelings of self-sabotage. You go to take a picture of somebody you love. Boom. It's on reverse mode. You didn't know it. You had done this, so now you look like you got a double chin. Come on, anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You're like, oh, I look horrible. Because when you take a picture of you, you got to stretch it out. You got to put it up. Come on, you know how to take a selfie. And then you're also losing your peace because some other girl posted a selfie. I just woke up. She didn't just wake up. She didn't wake up with those eyelashes on that we've done. She is a liar. Somebody ought to help me right now. I'm saying when you wake up, you just wake up. But people, my wish for everyone is that your life is as good and you're as happy as you play on social media. Don't judge your life. Don't allow your happiness to be determined by them. Allow it to be determined by him. And he said he loves you, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, that you're called to live in peace. That's my call. That's what he left to you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it lists out 9 gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That's why my daddy made me memorize it in the groups of 3. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So the first big 3 are love, joy, peace. Everybody shout, love, joy, peace.
Love, joy, peace.
Number 3 is peace. Everybody shout, peace.
Peace.
So for you to really enjoy your life, you got to be in peace. You got to be at peace, first of all, with you. Because if you're aggravated at you, you can't walk in love with anybody else. And I'm telling you what, we're all our own worst enemy. We're critical of ourselves, judgmental of ourselves. Why do you always do that? You got this little silent, you know, nobody else can hear it audibly, but you hear it. Look what you did. Look what they think of you. You bombed. You're too short. You're too fat. You're too old. You're too tan. You're too black. You're too, what? No, you're exactly the way God made you. You're unique. Your thumbprint is unique. You're the only one with this thumbprint to leave an imprint on this world, and you got to get at peace with you so that you can enjoy your life. Come here, Nicole. My wife, Nicole, she, a lot of times, she is not comfortable being tall. Okay, so she's up here, and she's tall. I know for her to be more comfortable, she always likes to be here. She likes to pretend she's little. She goes, oh, I love being little. I love being little. But then other girls, I'll watch her walk in the room, and they'll be short, and they'll be like, I hate her. If I was her height, I'd be my right weight. And they're judging her, and she's judging her, saying, I wish I was little. She's got a little two-pound dog, little bitty dog. She says that she likes the dog because she likes to pretend that dogs are like the people and the owner, so she wants to be widow white to widow dog. So we got a two-pound dog. This dog thinks it's bad. This dog can't do jack. I take the dog everywhere with me. It's so little, I take it to the bank, let it ride the tube. Sometimes the dog even leaves a deposit. But see, Nicole thinks that I need to be little. You think you need to be big. And it's all a plan of the enemy and the enemy to try to get us to play this comparison game with other people in the way we should look and the way we should feel. And I'm telling you, you got to learn to hit the delete button and say, God made me the way I am. Somebody ought to say amen. And I will have great peace. Shout, great peace.
Great peace.
Like you had breakfast, what?
Great peace.
One more time for the people on television, what?
Great peace.
Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love my law, and nothing shall offend them or cause them to stumble. When I was a little boy, my dad made me. He said, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to be a preacher. You need to learn the word. You need to know the words. You need to memorize the word. So he would always make me memorize, and he'd do little tricks. Love, joy, peace. Here's what he did for this one. He said, say like Tony the Tiger, say, great peace, great peace. You'll never forget this. You'll never forget it, son. Say, great peace. So today, while I'm preaching on it, I hear him say, great peace. He's in heaven, but I still hear him go, great peace. I want you to shout it with me.
Great peace.
No, that's good. One more time. What?
Great peace.
My dad's in heaven going, you did good, boy. Look at you. You got those people trained. Great peace have they which love thy law. God doesn't want you to have a little peace. He wants you to have a great peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace that is so strong, you can get a bad report of cancer at 10 o'clock, and you can say, I will believe the report of the Lord by 2 o'clock. And by 6 o'clock, you can go on and say, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. But the experts say, let me tell you something about experts. Experts told my friend Joel, I'll be with Joel next Sunday afternoon after I preach here and spend Sunday and Monday with Joel. Joel's mom was told by the experts she had to die over 30 years ago. She's still alive, and she's well. Experts, they do the best they can, but they don't know everything. Experts told me that I couldn't build a big church, that I didn't qualify to pastor a mega church. So, and we certainly couldn't do it wearing camouflage pants because that's what I felt like I wanted to wear today. I'm telling you, the experts can be wrong. You have to be the best version of you that you can be and silence and delete the voice of the people from the outside saying it can't be done, because if God decides to bless you, come on, you can be like David on the backside of the hill and you didn't even get invited to the party, and then God puts his super on your natural, and the next thing you know, you'll be like Gomer Pyle. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Me? I'm surprised myself. Every week when I have the honor to speak into your life, have the honor to speak into your life on television, I'm like, are you kidding me? And I asked God one time, this will keep you in pride. I said, God, why did you pick me? Thinking he's going to say something cool. And he goes, I chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Okay. God told us to start a church in Florida. You know, every Thursday night in Florida, we have a great church there, a big church. And this Thursday night when I go preach there, I'll be there going, God, why'd you pick me? People drive from Boca. People drive from Jupiter. People drive all the way from way out in Wellington, and they come to church. And God, why'd you pick me? And he goes, nobody else to do the job. I needed you to do that. There's a unique call upon your life. And I'm here to tell you right now that God is speaking through me to you, and you're thinking, well, I don't even like preachers. I don't even think about going to church. Why is it that this guy's speaking to me? Let me tell you why. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and this stranger they'll not follow. I am not a regular preacher doing a regular job playing religious games. I'm here to help you as a coach. Come on, somebody ought to help me today to get you to that position that God wants you to be in for you to enjoy your life. I'm saying seek peace. Comparison. Don't compare yourself to other people. They drive you crazy. Heard about three Catholic ladies the other day that were having breakfast and kind of older, and they're really bragging. She's like, my son, he is a priest. When he walks in the room, people say, good morning, Father. The other lady's like, well, my son is a cardinal in the Catholic Church. When he walks in, everybody stands up and says, good morning, Your Eminence. And they knew that this lady didn't have her son wasn't a priest. So they look at her, look down at her. She didn't say anything. She took a drink and said, well, tell us about your son. She said, well, my son is 6'2", blonde hair, blue eyes, with a hard body. And when he walks in the room, people say, oh, my God. Come on. You know what I'm saying? You got to work what you got, girl. You can't let them try to belittle you. You celebrate what God did do, and you don't cry about what he didn't do, so you can enjoy your life and every day that ends in Y, you should say, I'm telling you what, this is going to be a good day. God's got plans to bless me. I'm going to depart from evil, and I'm going to seek peace. Psalms 34, verse 14, it says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace. Seek peace. That means, have you ever lost your car keys? You're not going anywhere without this, right? You planned on not talking to your wife all day, but then you realize we're going to have to talk because I can't find this key. So you seek peace the same way. You seek it until you find it, and then you enjoy your life. You say, this is the only life I have, and I'm not going to allow the enemy to keep me from enjoying my life because God called me to live in peace. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, my brethren, farewell, become complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, live in peace. Everybody shout, live in peace.
Live in peace.
Now, even on television, tell me where you live right now, what town you live in. Tell me. What's on your ID? Cop pulls you over? Don't act like a cop hasn't pulled you over. Speaking of the absence of peace, you ever hear that, woo, your legs go numb? You try to slide your seatbelt on, right? Come on, go with me. He pulls up and go, do you always put your seatbelt through the steering column? Yes, sir. Live in peace. Live in peace. Where do you live? I asked you that, and you told me. I'm saying that maybe, just maybe, your primary residence might be St. Louis, our church in Florida. When I preach this sermon Thursday night, I'm going to ask them the question, and they're going to tell me, I live in Florida. That's their residence. That's where they abide. That's where they live. That's where they sleep. That's where they do life. I'm saying maybe your permanent address should be Peaceville. And then your second home should be whatever city you just told me. So you go through your life listening to the Eagles. I got a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you won't let me down. Come on, help me now. Because I'm ready to stand. Yeah, you don't know the Bible, but you know the Eagles. And I like that. I can respect that. You need to live your life with a peaceful, easy feeling. Colossians 3:15 says, and let harmony, soul peace, which comes from God, act as umpire, safe, unsafe, act as umpire continually in your hearts and minds. So when your mind goes south, your heart says, hey, your mind wandered off. You might want to get that back. Get over here. Sit down and shut up. You went to church and you learned the word. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. David Crank, you stop thinking that. But what about what they said? Now, I still hear some things in my head. I hear voices. Anybody in here hear voices sometimes? Come on. I'm freaking some of you out. You're like, I hope he doesn't see dead people. I see dead people. Okay, so I hear voices, and sometimes they're from my past. When I took the church, you know, I was a pilot for my dad. I flew him around the country doing, you know, his ministry, and then I did worship. That means I came up and did what these guys do. And he died 10 years ago. So one year, I did church the way Dad did it. And then I just realized, it's not me. It's kind of like putting on somebody else's armor with David and Saul. Remember that? He put on the armor. It just doesn't fit. So I decided I was going to do some things. Like, let's get rid of those people that are sleeping behind me. Anybody ever seen a church that have the big chairs with the deacon board on the back? Come on, raise your hand. And so they're all sleeping while my dad was doing his thing. And I thought, that always bothered me, you know? It's because he preached for a long time, so I could give him that. But if I'm only going to preach for 30 minutes, then you can stay awake for the 30 minutes. So I took him off there and put him down here. Now, people didn't like that. That's change. People resist change. Then I decided, I don't like all the pictures of what we used to be and how we did this and that. That's our past. Our future is at it. So I took those down. Oh, boy, that's trouble. Taylor Swift is before she wrote the song, Trouble, Trouble, Trouble. And boy, they started talking, and I'd hear him say, he's not as good as his dad. I wish we had his dad back. I don't think he'll ever make it. And when I'm walking through the hallway, I'm hearing that. I started realizing right away that I have to figure out how to hit the delete button, because what they're doing is they're sowing seeds of negativity in my life. And just because they say it doesn't mean I have to water it and let it grow, let it grow. I don't know why I'm so musical today, but I am feeling it. I went Michael there too, by the way. That's what that was. Y'all look at me like, that's so not Michael. In my head, I can sing and dance. Anybody in here, you sing in the shower? Okay. Anybody in here take a shower? Raise your hand. Because when you didn't raise your hand, people were like, thank God they didn't raise their hand, because clearly their right guard turned left. So I had to learn to say, I'm not going to allow that stuff to germinate and to grow in my life. So when I would hear those thoughts, I'll say, no, what they said about me is not true. I've got to do what God called me to do. And so then it kind of felt good. Not rebellious, just going, I got to not care so much. They keep stealing my peace. Church has always been the same. It's to save 200 people, and they're good people, but it's not who I'm called to be. So then one day I decided we're going to do something really crazy, because we only had one African-American woman at the church. You'll see her testimony today. And so we called her Manada. Her real name is Michelle, but she'd been with the church forever, and she's the only one we had. And I love that demographic. I love to have church that way. And I always wanted a black church. So I really blew everybody's mind. And I painted the entire walls inside the church black, so I could go to church conferences and they say, what kind of church do you pastor? And I'd be like, I pastor me a black church. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then the church began to grow. And we had this beautiful dynamic and diversity. So there was not a black church or a white church. It's a blood-bought church of Jesus Christ, with all denominations and all colors and all races and all ages. Come on, somebody ought to help me. And then I felt peace. But at the same time, those people were still saying that stuff. And it drives me crazy, because I do care. And I don't mean that I don't care, because I do care. But I'm saying that if you don't, 1 Peter 5:7, cast the whole of your care upon God and say, God, here's what they're saying about me. Are you sure this is the way you want me to go? And he's like, yep. So I did crazy stuff. Like, I put a trampoline on the stage, and I started bouncing on it. First time I ever did that. Went on television, first show, and I started singing a song from Cake. First I was afraid, I was petrified. Kept thinking, I could never live without you by my side. And then I spent so many nights just thinking how you done me wrong. And I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And the church grew the next Sunday by 13%. Oh, yes. And then the next week by 13%. This is what it means, technically. It means that every Sunday we would have to throw out 13% more chairs until we couldn't get the people in. And then I started doing not one service, but two. And then not two, but three. And then four. And then five. And then six. And then seven. And then eight. Then nine services my little young hide was doing at 36 years old. And I'd do those nine services. And then I realized, we got to get a bigger building, and this is going to kill me. And then we bought two churches that have 150,000 square feet, and thousands of people are coming, and their lives are being changed, not because of me, but because of God using my unique gift to communicate to help people. Come on, you picking up what I'm putting down? I'm saying, delete all the negativity in your past and say, I'm not going to listen to them anymore. I'm not going to be overly concerned about what they say. I'm called to live in peace. I live. Where do you reside? Where do you live? Where's your residence? You live in Peaceville, man. You're living in peace. Don't allow the enemy to allow the past, what you saw modeled, drama mamas, We got to get upset about everything. No meal can ever be right. We got to pull a hair out and throw it in there so we don't have to pay for it. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. I got family like that. You're like, I hate to go out to eat with you because I know there's going to be a hair in this meal by the end of this deal. You know what I'm saying? Let's make a deal. I will pay if you don't pull a hair. But we see that modeled. Joel actually told me a story the other day that he read that, true story, this German shepherd was crossing the road and was pregnant. A car hit it, broke both his legs. But the little mom pulled herself back across the street to her house. She ends up getting healed, but the person didn't know exactly what happened because the dog just laid around, so it didn't get properly set. But then it healed back up, and the puppies were born. And when the puppies were born, they didn't get hit. They didn't get injured. But because they saw the model dragging their legs, they got freaked out because the little puppies, they have it on YouTube, the little puppies are dragging their legs because they saw it modeled by the mother. I want to model for you what God's purpose is for your life. And that's to say, I don't have to drag all this stuff in my past and in my future. I don't have to limp in. I can leap in knowing God's favor's on me, his blessing's on me, and the rest of my life will be the best of my life. The two things I want you to do. Number one, I want to ask you a question here and there. How many of y'all feel like this is exactly what God wanted you to hear today? Raise your hand. What's everybody? Secondly, if you don't come to Faith Church, I want to encourage you to do it. Whether you're in Palm Beach or in St. Louis, we have three campuses here, one there. Get online at faithchurch.com. Find out where we're at. Allow this word to penetrate your heart and your kids' heart so that they don't live the same kind of up and down life that you've lived. And the rest of your life, I promise, will go so much better with God in the center of it. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I receive you as my Savior and my Lord. From this day forward, I'm called to live in peace, health, tranquility. In Christ's name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Come on, give God praise for his word.